All right, happy afternoon, Monday style on this 4-hour voyage we have. Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, no Donnie yet because he is out with a mystery stealer.
Oh, he's having a day right now. He's having himself an afternoon.
He is having a nice
lunch.
Nice lunch with a mystery stealer. So he'll get here when he gets here.
A true football guy today. Lunch date. Truly.
But I keep hearing he doesn't want to be called the football guy anymore.
Wait.
Which I don't get.
Okay. Stop right. We got a lot to get to.
Austin is here. Austin, am I right about that?
Well, football is reportedly returning in August, according to his Twitter bio, but he's been going with Chedrick for the last couple of months. I don't know if that's a Sarah directive or what it might be.
Now, hold on. Now, I understand like where he hosts Bucko Talk and he would be Donnie Chedrick, or if he wants to go. Now you can't be Donnie Baseball in this town because there's too many of them. There's Donnie Kelly. He can't be Donnie Baseball. So I understand Chedrick for that. But for all other correspondence, I would think football still plays here.
I mean, it very well could.
To me, he just needs to have one exception. It's, hey, he's doing Bucko Talk for 2 hours. All right, you're Donnie Chedrick. That makes sense
to me. On TV last night, he was Chedrick.
Oh, see, now that's two exceptions. TV operates under a different set of standards. It's a miracle that I've gotten my famous T-shirt look through, T-shirt and blazer look. They're not putting football there. They're not just saying, hey, here's Donnie Football in the Chiron or whatever.
But if that's what he identifies as on the air, why
ESPN
not?
ESPN says the Mad Dog for Chris Russo.
With all due respect to Donnie, who I think is a talented guy on the rise who's going to do huge things, how much money are they paying Mad Dog? Several million dollars to do that?
And if Donnie were here right now, he'd make some self-effacing comment about how he doesn't make any money. Right?
And then you'd say, would you leave to go to ESPN if they paid you $200,000 and we'd do the same song and dance?
In a heartbeat, he'd say.
I do want to get to
Not
the...
Not you, though, Austin. You're a man of principle.
I do want to get to the Donnie Kelly first impressions. I am happy Austin's here, though, because something happened to me this weekend that I want to ask Austin about.
You're happy Austin's here?
I am.
That's a first.
I know. It is. So
already just taking shots.
I'm sorry.
For a minute,
I set myself up, which is really shameful.
I was fun to be around, Malzy. You've learned that.
Debatable. I was at a fun. I was at a very cool event Saturday night. The Children's Home of Pittsburgh, Mario Lemieux, the Austin Playrooms and stuff. Mm-hmm. They had a fundraiser over at the Rivers. Aditi was actually the MC for it, so she invited Amanda and I. We ended up donating a meet and greet where somebody who won the auction could come see us on a road show at like the Rivers or Mike's or something, and then treat them for dinner and
so
go
wait,
over
the
to
the station.
A Pirates
donated
game.
This.
I did. I said, "Come meet me after a show at one of these places. We'll go get dinner, and then I'll treat you to dinner, and then we'll go to a Pirates game."
Okay.
So I go to this event, and believe it or not, they seat me at the like marquee signature table. What'd you make that noise? So here is
very prominent place.
Here is where Austin comes into the conversation.
And Austin already getting love from our usual YouTube commenters. Turd Sandwich tweeting, Bechtold is greater than Filippari.
Oh.
So now you're Andrew. Now you're Andrew Filippari, according to Turd Sandwich.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. He can't spell your name. Anyway,
the guy's Turd Sandwich on YouTube, so I'm gonna take everything you say, Turd Sandwich, with a grain of salt. It's not exactly like Bob Costas coming on the air and saying he likes Austin more than me.
Now what?
Anyways,
true.
So I'm at this signature table, and two individuals introduce themselves to me. So I'm gonna give you both of their names. And I just want you to tell me who you think these people are.
Oh, I cannot wait for this. I can't wait for this.
Because I think this is a big test here for Austin.
So hold on a second. Implicit in how you're setting this up is you know that when you say the names, I'll know exactly who they are.
Oh, you will.
And I probably won't.
You will, and I'm not going to say anything more until we get Austin's response.
Okay.
So the first person comes up to me with his wife, and he says, I'll be sitting next to you. Hi, my name is JT Thomas. Do you know who that is?
Oh, gosh, I've heard that name, too.
Don't say anything, Chris.
I'm not going to help him. Don't worry.
Okay, we can't have dead air because it sets off all the alarms here. So
that's
you're saying
correct.
You don't know who this person
here,
is.
Hold on. Here, I'll you can think and don't have to talk, and I'll make sure we don't have dead air. Ready?
No, you don't do that.
You don't do it. You think.
Did JT Thomas play in the NFL?
Okay, so that's what you think he is, an NFL player?
Yes.
Okay.
The second person comes up to me and says, Hi, I'm John Kolb. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, former Steeler.
Okay. Do you know when he played?
During the 70s.
Do you know what position he played?
Offensive line.
All right.
He's 1 for 2.
You're one.
Well,
for
he's like 1.5 for 2. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to like really lock down on JT Thomas. He was a defensive back for those 70 Steelers.
So he was
first
the other
pick
corner
in 1973.
That wasn't Mel Blunt.
Yeah, he was
not Mel Blunt, and there's JT
correct.
Thomas.
He's a Pro Bowler in 1976 on that great Steelers team that was beset by injuries and would have probably won another Super Bowl.
Yeah, no Rocky or Franco in that
correct.
Playoff.
See,
okay,
I think he's actually doing very well here.
So my brain when I because this was an event mostly I would say 40 and up, maybe 45 and up, an older audience.
You're not too far away from that.
No, I
big
know.
Boy.
I'm not saying I'm not. So I think if these two ex-Steelers went around the room, most people would know them. But I kind of think that even if you're Austin's age and you're in your mid-20s and you consider yourself a big Steelers or Pittsburgh sports fan, mm-hmm. I think you have to know who these guys are. Like if
your personal opinion.
Yes,
like,
if you're my wife Amanda, mm-hmm. and she's like, Andrew, help me here. Who is JT Thomas? Mm-hmm. He just told me that he owned all the Applebee's in Pittsburgh, which was pretty cool.
Eating good in the neighborhood.
Okay, back in the day.
That's
getting
good.
That 2 for $20 special.
Well, that's good. That's good. Like life after football business.
No
Those
doubt.
Guys weren't making free agency money.
No doubt. He handed me a card for his new business, and I plan on getting in touch with him. But
wow.
Yeah, but so. This happens, and I'm excusing her because she does not put herself in the I'm a diehard, I'm a huge fan bucket. She has to watch a lot of these things because of me, but she's not someone who lives and dies with the Steelers or has to any obligation or duty to watch them and care about them 365 like we do. But I think if you're someone that's watching every Sunday in a season or a season ticket or any of those things, you're engaging in conversation with people on social media about the Steelers and you claim to be a fan, you should know these guys. It should just your working knowledge of the Steelers should go beyond Franco, Bradshaw, Lynn Swann, Joe Green, Jack Lambert, Jack Ham, Mel Blunt.
I think to a degree though, you're applying your own unrealistic standard to what other fans like.
It's
think
unrealistic
about.
To ask fans to go do a little bit of homework on the 70 Steelers, a team that won 4 Super Bowls. I'm sorry, I don't think it is. I'm not asking them to learn to bone
you
up on the 1983
there
Steelers.
There are plenty of ardent Steelers fans whose idea of a good time is not just sit in my man cave and go onto YouTube and watch a random Steelers game, which is literally what you do.
I'm
right
not
down to
talking
the
random about
Steelers
random games. We're talking about guys that have 4 Super Bowl rings in their room. Right? I mean, I'm not talking about random guys here. If I asked Awesome and quizzed him on the air, can you name the starting lineup for the 1986 Pirates, that would be an unrealistic ask. That would be too much. But I'm asking about the 1974, 75, 78, and 79 Steelers. I don't think that that's...
What percentage of
and
those...
And he works in this business.
Well, that's why I should know it.
Thank
what,
you.
What percentage
you're on my
of those
side,
70s
and you got it
teams,
wrong, kind of.
What percentage of those 70s teams starting 22 do you think a true Steelers fan should know of that age that you're talking about?
Most.
Like above 70%? Should they be able to name 3/4 of the 22 starters?
Yes, I think so.
Man.
Man, what?
So here's how I take it. I should know it because like I'm in this business and I consume it on
should
a daily
you know,
basis.
Hold on. Devil's advocate.
Terry Callis doesn't know where Michael Jordan went to
big
college.
Difference.
Or Penn State
big
to the
difference.
Big Ten.
He didn't know the Big Ten existed.
How much utility does it have for you, Austin, to be able to, off the top of your head, snap recall, oh, Pony's talking about John Kolb. He played left tackle for the Steelers.
If you have a conversation about like the, you know, you said Broderick Jones will go down as the greatest tackle in Steelers history.
Left tackle. I even
left
said
tackle.
Left
tackle. When you say that, inherently you should know who John Kolb is. No?
Yeah, I mean, you're making that proclamation also more. It's about the player you're making it about, not who he has to surmount. Like, John Kolb doesn't rise to the level, no disrespect to John, of Anthony Munoz, for example.
No, but as far as the Steelers go,
yes,
he's one of
their
best
the
offensive linemen of all time. And this guy's a Steelers fan who works in Steelers and Pittsburgh sports media.
I do think that you having such an elite brain compared to so many other people definitely puts him on a different pedestal.
Here.
Fine, I won't say
not,
it in a complimentary way. I think the fact that you're a huge nerd makes you a little bit different with this
the
stuff.
The fact that you could name every single quarterback matchup in the Super Bowl dating back to Super Bowl I. Pretty insane.
All right, how about this corollary?
Oh, now we've got corollaries. Donnie's going to do corollary.
Can you name the last Super Bowl run in the 70s, 79? Can you name the three teams the Steelers beat to win the Super Bowl?
They beat the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I don't think it was the Raiders in the AFC Championship game that year. They beat the Oilers at one point in that playoff. I don't know if it was divisional or if it was the AFC Championship. Was it the AFC Championship they beat the Oilers?
Yes.
Come on, Austin.
So it was either the Raiders or I think it was maybe Cincinnati in that divisional game.
Austin, I want you to just think about the warmth of Miami Beach.
Should he know this? Is that a bad job by him?
I mean, I know Oilers and Rams, and I would have had to think about it, but I think I would have gotten there with the Dolphins pretty quickly.
When the Steelers lost to the Cowboys in Super Bowl 30, they beat the Colts in the AFC Championship in 95. Who is the Colts quarterback in that game?
Jim Harbaugh.
Okay, so these are... If he got that wrong, would you have been disappointed in him?
Yeah, but that's much closer to him age-wise. Like, the 70s Steelers are, like, an abstract thing for him more than anything. Like, if he meets JT Thomas in the flesh, okay... This is one of the guys who was on that team playing in those games, but they're an abstraction. You're much closer to Austin's wheelhouse when you say Jim Harbaugh. Like, for example, that game happened when I was about to turn 10. Aaron Bailey was the guy who almost caught Jim Harbaugh's Hail Mary. Those are easy names for me to, like, rattle off.
But what is your expectation or obligation as a diehard fan for things that happened before you were alive to watch them happen? You know what I'm saying?
To, like, check the right fandom boxes?
Yes.
I think that's a moving target for everyone. I don't like
well,
think less
Chris
of somebody.
Well, what's Chris Muller's target?
I mean, know the basics and probably have like a good familiarity with all the games. Do you know the name of the Dallas Cowboys tight end who dropped the sure touchdown pass to help the Cowboys lose a Super Bowl to the Steelers? It spawned the quote, "He's got to be the sickest man in America."
Man, I've heard the
Bless
quote.
Bless his heart, he's got to be the sickest man in America.
I'm not going to pretend like I do.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer, like a truly great
player.
Was
it White Shoes Johnson?
I love you, Austin.
That's why I don't take Johnson.
You took an honest, you know what, though? You took a big Dave Kingman swing at that one, and granted, you're a human windmill. No, Jackie Smith.
Can you name five players on the 79 Pirates?
Probably.
Go for it.
All right, let's see. Get the easy one
Let's
first.
Let's go with Stargell.
Okay.
Good.
Parker.
Yep.
Bill Madlock.
Nope.
When that was 71.
Okay. We'll let you like wipe it from the record if you want here.
Yeah, I'm not going to go with that.
Come on.
Starting pitchers on those teams, I'm trying to think.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah, this is unbelievable, huh? Why did I put myself on the spot like this when I thought I easily could know it? I keep thinking of the 71 lineup now.
Oh, because he's got such a depth of knowledge.
Yeah, why does this...
On 71.
Well, hold on. I'm going to throw him a lifeline here.
San Guillen
was 71, was 16, 71.
I'm going to throw you...
on 79.
I want to throw
oh
you...
Oh, my God.
I want to throw you a lifeline here, just to ask you this question, broadly speaking. Why is the 71 team occupying so much more space in your brain than the 79 team?
Well, because that was the last Clemente team. I know that...
I know, but it's like almost a decade prior. Like, I would be much more impressed if you could name five guys from...
Any win feels awesome, but to get a series win, especially after yesterday, struggling with runners in scoring position, and then to be able to come through today, it was a great job by the guys. The energy felt great, the dugout felt great, and I think the guys just believed in themselves to go out there and do it.
Mount Lebo, Point Park, Donnie Baseball, Donnie Kelly, 2-1. This Pirate skipper took down a hot Braves team this weekend at PNC Park. Now they play the Mets tonight. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The text line murdering Austin for not being able to name 579 Pirates. Had Madlock on the team, then he took him off the team.
Nelly P on YouTube
said he
said,
knew that San Guillen played on the 60 and 71 teams, but not the 79 team.
He was in a,
even
you had him in a blender.
He won a huge game
you had, hey,
in
had
that
in a blender.
Series with a big hit.
Nelly on YouTube comments, the kid's 23, give him a break, even though he does need to be muted. It's been...
Interesting.
That's a real backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it is a compliment now that I think about
like it.
Poor limits. He has to go from Crazy Joe to Pontius Pony all in one morning. It's like working in a mental ward from Bill in Arizona.
I just got compared to the guy that put...
Jesus, That Pontius Pony. I think he was just... Maybe he would try Pious Pony.
Pious Pony, that doesn't make sense either.
Or Pontificating Pony. But man, yeah, you did anything but wash your hands of this situation. You got knee deep in there.
Oh, I'm sorry that I'm demanding a lot out of diehard Pirates fans who can't name guys on their last World Series winning team.
I bet he could name more than five players on the last Penn State team to come up short in a big game. You've got that every year. You can turn over that roster whenever you want.
Take a look at that just a couple of months ago.
Yep. You could do that.
Sitting
and then
the
year,
second row.
Then the year before that and the year before that. Yep.
But not
easy.
The year before that when they won the Rose Bowl.
Can you name the starting quarterback, leading rusher, and leading wide receiver on the 94 Penn State
come
team?
Come on. You can do this. You can do this.
Kerry Collins was the quarterback. Kajana Carter was the running back. And the tight end.
No.
It's not a tight end.
It's not a tight end. It's
really?
A receiver who played a long time in the NFL. Had a nice NFL career. Come on.
You're not that big of a Penn
State
fan.
He played for the Seahawks, among other teams.
You're not that big of a Penn State fan. You are a fake, phony, baloney, fugazi, Penn State fan right now.
What are you doing? I hated that team. They were my nemesis,
Weren't you at college at the time?
No, but I liked Nebraska, and I used to troll people.
You think Chris was in college in 1994?
That's a joke, pony.
Nine-year-old Mulsey going to college? Does the name Bobby Engram ring any bells?
Dang it, yeah, now it does. Hello, Austin. Your attempts to satisfy Pony's unrealistic diehard fan expectations were admirable. For example, Pony says he knows every entrance of the 1992 Royal Rumble, yet I doubt he can name every single WrestleMania main event.
Because I'm not a wrestling fan. I wasn't at the other WrestleManias. I went to one big wrestling event
but
that
the frightening
people bring
thing about,
up as maybe the best of all time.
The
That's
frightening
all.
Thing about Pony's brain is if you showed him the actual main event match of every WrestleMania, you let him see it on a paper for like 5 minutes at most, he'd have them all.
I'm not asking people like Austin to know random sports facts or stats. Who do you identify with as a sports fan? Who is your favorite team? If you claim to be a big fan, you should have some knowledge.
How many 2009 Penguins should he be able to name? Would you consider yourself a big Penguins fan?
Of course he's a big Penguins fan.
You were 8 years old. How many guys off that team?
The whole entire show today is let's put Austin on the spot and see how well he does.
Well, now you see what Donnie occasionally has to deal with in this spot. I mean, this is what comes with the territory here.
Well, of course you get Crosby, Malkin, Gonchar, Letang, Bausma was the coach.
Let me
Tyler
ask you
Kennedy
this.
Was
Let
on
me
that
stop,
team.
Stop
Matt
right now.
Cook.
Stop right now.
Who was the center on that line?
No. Hold on. Who Which scored line? Both goals?
The
who
Cook
scored,
and Kennedy line.
Yeah, who centered their best third line in hockey that year?
It would have been Kennedy, Cook, and Craig Adams. He was on the fourth line.
Okay, that's good. That's
Jordan
solid.
Jordan Stahl.
I didn't say Stahl.
No, he was the center on the third line. Last one. Who scored both Game 7 goals in the Stanley Cup Final to beat the Red Wings 2-1?
Oh, my God. He has to know that.
Or he should.
Max Talbot.
Okay. You had me. Here, one more. This is a
no,
harder
one.
This is a harder
another
one.
This
is a harder
piling
one.
On.
Can you name Detroit's goalie in that game?
No.
Okay.
Austin. But see, that's
a little harder, but he still should know it.
Well,
I think. Wouldn't you know the guy who like might have biffed it
How
for the
about
other
this?
Team?
Learn your own teams first.
Oh.
If you parade around and masquerade around as this gigantic
masquerade.
You go around and you say, I'm a Penn State fan, and then you don't know who Bobby Engram is? Come on now. Do you know the only Penn State Heisman Trophy winner?
Am I really supposed to know?
Do you know the only Penn State Heisman Trophy winner?
Am I really
winner?
Supposed to know just the complete and utter history of this thing? Like a 400-page novel?
But hold on.
I'm asking you to know the Cliff Notes version of this of the program or your favorite team's best teams in years.
As a texter just put it, being a fan does not mean being able to be a complete encyclopedia for
it's
everything that's happened in the past.
It's not encyclopedia questions!
Can you name...
It's not!
Time out. Can you name... Penn State's only Heisman Trophy winner.
Kajana Carter came in second.
To Rashawn Salaam.
Yeah, so he did not win it.
I will give you a hint. This man played for Penn State in the early 1970s.
It was not Franco Harris.
The same year, JT Thomas was drafted in the first round by the Steelers. This man won Penn State's lone Heisman Trophy.
You need to know this as a Penn State fan.
Well, guess what, Pony? I don't, and I don't care that you think I should. There's my answer.
But you throw stones at the Harry Callis house for
not
knowing things.
Oh, really? So I'm the one throwing stones at the Harry Callis house.
You
have broken the Harry Callis house multiple times.
Yes.
There's no house left. You've thrown so many stones at it.
Exactly, but I'm allowed to because I know these basic things. And now you don't know basic things as a fan of these teams, and yet you make fun of Callis.
The funniest part of this is that as Austin has gotten more annoyed with you, his tone has sounded more like somebody in like a relationship argument. Oh, well, you think that I should do this, but you can't put the garbage out in the can.
Yeah, mister, I can beat you with an argument so easily. Okay, my hands tied behind my back.
Let me ask you this. Does the name John Cappelletti mean anything to you as a Penn State fan?
Yes.
What position did he play?
I don't know. But I do know that he was the one that won the only Heisman.
No, you didn't.
By the fact that Malzie just said it, he just gave you the answer.
It doesn't mean anything to you. Sure, I've heard it. He was a running back.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township.
Should we do
South Hills
John Cappelletti hour for the next half hour here?
No, but I don't think you could fill
1 minute of John Cappelletti hour.
I would recommend taking an hour of your life to learn things about your beloved Penn State football program.
I would further...
Their success in big games, like Chris said, will take you about 2 minutes, and then you use the rest of that time.
Can I actually tell you something here very serious about Cappelletti?
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, there we go. Now he's killing me on Twitter, as I just see right now.
I do think, as a Penn State fan, you will be interested, because Cappelletti, especially with his sibling, his one younger brother,
has a very good
and interesting and heartfelt life story, like tugs at the heartstrings.
It could be inspiring to you in everything you do in life, but you choose to go through life ignorant, like Callis, apparently.
Oh, really?
Someone's been ejected. Uh-oh. Donnie Kelly's coming out of the dugout, and he's in the face of Clint Vondrak right now. And Vondrak has ejected Donnie Kelly from this game, and he is coming out. He was arguing balls and strikes, and Vondrak said no. So game number two for Donnie Kelly, and a kid from Mount Lebo's getting kicked out of the game. He's letting him have it. He's right in the face of Vondrak, the home plate umpire.
Joe Block. Right there on Donnie Kelly getting ejected Saturday. He was a cigarette in the dugout away from having the Jim Leland hat trick. Win a series, get ejected.
They had him do his post game in a rocking chair. It would have been unbelievable.
In his underwear. That was another Leland staple after games.
The old sliding shorts look?
Yep.
Dan Zangrilli.
This is peak male performance right here.
In studio with us. We were going to go through our first impressions as Kelly as a manager, but then we got sidetracked by Austin's lack of knowledge as a Pittsburgh sports fan.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty bad.
Yeah. What were your first impressions
of Austin Bechtold or
just Donnie
Kelly? If we go down that road again, we might not get back on the highway.
It's a voice in that clubhouse that I think everybody trusts. He was doing a ton of work and heavy lifting. I understand a lot of guys were going to him for certain things anyway. It's that top assistant coach. I'm not suggesting that Derek Shelton at times was a good cop or bad cop, but you have that. You have that other side, that assistant guy. A lot of guys went to Jeff Bannister during the Clint Hurdle days, and I think Donnie Kelly was that guy. So, you know, it made a lot of sense. But, yeah.
How about in-game philosophical or in-game strategy?
Bullpen was a little
strategy.
Different. Bullpen was a little
The Tanner
different.
Rainey experience yesterday was an interesting choice.
I hated that.
Well, because the inning was nobody on, two outs. And you had Olsen up as a lefty, one batter away. Like, I just did not understand that at all. And
Berucki was only at 20 pitches. Right, so that's the one
nearly,
thing I'll quibble with from this
It very nearly came
him.
Back to bite him. I will give him credit. This didn't happen in-game, Dan. I mean, I was ready to make him the manager of the year when he took Pham out of the lineup and then put my guy Canario in it. He got a home run out of him. Let's go. Let's go, Bucko Auction House.
He didn't play Pham twice, which I loved.
It's true. Well, I think Pham was a little banged up.
Well, Dan, Sunday he had the ankle thing. You think that was pre-existing?
What is... Okay, yeah, answer that.
I think there are like some contact lens issues with Pham, who has some really bad
vision.
He does
problems.
Have terrible, yeah.
So I think that
so
was...
So don't give him credit for taking Pham out of the lineup then. It was a
well
thing.
I mean, could have been a bit of both.
What is Donnie Kelly's... Because like, I think bench coach, I think you kind of got to be jack of all trades, master of none. You're a people... You got to manage people.
Sure.
Like you just said, good cop, bad cop stuff. You do have to have, obviously, deep knowledge of the game. We know he's played every position in a major league game as a player. What would you say his reputation is as what, like, the strongest part of his on-field managing style? Like, what is he supposed to know the most?
I mean...
If you had to guess at that.
I don't think that there's really much to go on, Chris, because he's never managed. And I asked him that question on Saturday. I would say that it's more of a concern for me than anything, because he hasn't been baptized by fire. He doesn't have innings under his belt.
Leland brought that up to us on Friday.
And how many times has Leland, we've heard interview after interview of him saying that he has called upon his experience as a minor league manager. He's been there, he's done that, he's seen it. I think Mike Shildt is the best manager in the game, not named Bruce Bochy, for the San Diego Padres. And he went through every rung of the minor league ladder. He was battle-tested by the St. Louis Cardinals organization. Frankly, Donnie Kelly doesn't have that. And for me, that's a concern.
So he's learning on the job here.
He is. And is this the place to learn that?
But Derek Shelton was learning on the job, too. I know he had minored
Some would argue that you've got to be like even better as a manager here because the talent isn't there to cover up your mistakes.
What happens when you're going up against Mike Schilt? What happens when you're going up against Bruce Bochy? That guy's ahead of you.
How much is that like actually going to impact games most of the time versus just the talent disparity that they'll face against most opponents?
I mean, I guess it depends on if you're going with a script and you're reading out of a binder. Will the Pirates do more of that? They punted Binder Boy to the sun and Radley Haddad along with Shelton.
Binder Boy?
Yes. Literally, they were scripting games. And, well, this isn't happening and this is... Well, what happens when the script goes off script?
Part of me wondered if that was because they didn't trust Shelton in game and they needed somebody to hold his hand through the process. I wondered that.
Well, I think a lot of teams are doing this because you're seeing... And I don't think Donnie Kelly is a bad hire by any stretch. This is me saying, well, what's the one box that he hasn't checked? But fewer and fewer organizations are valuing what I'm valuing, and that is that minor league experience. Stephen Vogt of the Cleveland Guardians, right? He had no experience whatsoever. That's working out just fine. And
what's
there's a lot of other success stories there as well.
What's Charrington's job security?
I wouldn't think very good at this moment. I mean, how could you feel comfortable considering what's going on around?
So he
kept his job.
His job, and he's going to run another draft. And I know the scouting director really runs the draft and everything else, but like he kept his job, and there's no sign that he's going to. And everything Bob Nutting said to Jason Mackey that I read about in that Q&A suggests that Bob is really loath to make that kind of wholesale front office change because he thinks it's counterproductive.
So I don't know if that means anything, because he also let Neil Huntington begin a managerial search after firing Clint Hurdle. And ironically enough, Neil Huntington had on his short list Derek Shelton and actually interviewed Shelton. Huntington did while he was still the sitting general manager. And then Shelton had to re-interview for the job. This is after Huntington was then let go. And then Charrington is installed.
Okay,
Charrington interviews him and then eventually hires him.
That's bad process, ultimately, because it's messy. You would think he would then learn from that and not, if he has any designs on the idea that Ben Charrington's not the right guy, rip the Band-Aid off.
Well, I don't know that won't happen, Chris. And you're saying and assuming that he's going to run another draft, that he's going to run another trade deadline. Just based on past history and actions with how the owner has proceeded in changes, like this is what we have to go off of.
Yep.
Is it a fair assumption by me that if they steady and they don't play like well, but they play right around like 480 to 500 ball under Donnie Kelly for the next month and a half, Charrington's not going anywhere? They'll see that as, oh, our manager was a huge problem. Our process isn't as bad as we thought.
This isn't a vote of confidence from me towards Ben Charrington, and this is not me advocating. But here's what I will say, kind of taking a step back from all of this and really trying to look at it objectively, there's so much to say about where the position group is, and your record is what your record is. However, the pitching, I think we can all agree, objectively, is in a pretty good spot. And if we're looking at what you need to develop an organization, what you have at the big league level, you have three top 100 prospects that are arms that are at the upper level of the minor leagues. Say what you want. There are plenty of aspersions to be cast here. But the hesitation, right, is, okay, we've got the hard part figured out, right? The hard part is the pitching. And if that's in a good spot...
In theory, they do. We don't know yet because we haven't seen Chandler in the majors and we got to see Jones come back from his injury, but you'd like to think they have it, yeah.
Yeah, and you also have a pretty good staff right now with essentially three guys out of the equation in Jones, Uviedo, and missing somebody else at the big league level. Maybe it's Chandler. But I don't know. I guess there is, albeit not a strong case, but a case to be made to try to see this through. To Nutting's point, you know, you've got it halfway done. Do you really want to tear things down? A new general manager comes in and wants to strip it all down, blow it all up, and we know we've been through that how many times over the last 30 years, and I think, if at all possible, he's trying to avoid that at all costs because of, well, you know, you don't.
Yeah, you set
the
clock back 4 to 5 years, but like if you keep going on this path and Ben Chiarin doesn't fix the things that have gotten you to this point, then you're just doing an even worse disservice to your fan base and yourself.
Sure. Check out Dan Zangrilli on pregame tonight, the leadoff show, 6 o'clock, Pirates and Mets in Flushing, Queens.